Gentlemen at the back, Brother Shane and Brother Deshaun, I'm going to need you at the front. Just leave two up there for me. Can I ask Reverend to put the scripture on the board tonight? And if you're not here, and if you're here and you're not willing to let go so that the Holy Spirit can have his way in your life tonight, respectfully, I'm going to ask you to go home. Because it's not one of the nights that we take lightly. If you open yourself to the Holy Spirit tonight, you will be discerning like you've never done before. Praise God. Rev, I'm going to ask you to put on the board for me the scripture for tonight, the theme scripture taken from the book of 1 Kings 14, and you don't have to search your Bibles, please. It's okay. Just look on the board. 1 Kings 14, 1 through to 10. Very interesting path. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself. The first spirit you witness is the spirit of what? Deception. Disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Abijah, the prophet, which told me I should be king over this people." The second spirit you witness is the spirit of prophecy. Good. "And take thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Abijah, but Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. I want you to observe that you don't know what is about to come, but I want you to observe the spirit of deception and the spirit of physical blindness at work. "And the Lord said unto Ahijah, Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself or hide herself to be another woman. And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet, as she came in at the door, he said, Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why faintest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings." So we observe the spirit of discerning or discernment. "Go, tell Jeroboam, thus said the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in my eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made the other gods," Exodus 20, "and molded image to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back." 10th. Everybody read this for me. "Therefore, behold, I will bring upon the house of Jeroboam and will cut off from bring upon the house of Jeroboam evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, men, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. The translation of this particular verse is that God is going to bring the house of Jeroboam to nothing. If you're here tonight and you're serious about your Christian walk, where's Minister Edwards? Come on in. Brother, both of you. If you're serious about your Christian walk, lift your hands. If you're serious about your Christian walk, you're really serious. Let me ask you one question. If God should say to you, as you're in the process of discerning tonight, the thing that you love most, he did not order it. I'm not saying that's what he's saying. I'm just challenging your seriousness. Would you discard of it? Would you? Okay, lift your hands if you're serious about your Christian walk. Not just that, but you're serious about being able to discern. Now, Father, we ask that your Spirit overtake your people, and you know the hearts of your children. Just like you did with me this morning at 9:22. Father, bathe them with the oil of transformation, and give them wisdom above every other, and cause your Spirit of revelation to open discernment, so that your words will come alive. Magnetize them, and Lord, their lives will be transformed. So we thank you for that which you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you remember well, the whole reason for the wife of Jeroboam to have gone to Ahijah was for knowledge on their sick son, Abijah. You remember that? Now, verse 12, which we did not read, closes the argument of this request. It says that Ahijah spoke to Jeroboam's wife and told her, "Arise thou therefore and get thee in thine own house. And when thy feet enter into the city, the child will die." Harsh. Very, very harsh. Please follow me, Rev, tonight. I want you to understand something. No child of God is expected to drink milk continuously by the term drink milk, I mean it is not expected that you live at John 3:16 for the rest of your Christian walk. You will live by it, but not at it. In other words, it shouldn't be the only scripture you know. You're expected to study to show yourself approved. You're expected to meditate for the transformation and reformation of your life. You're expected to study, review the Word of God, so that you're able to open the path for others to see the light that you saw and become who you are. Hebrews 5:12 through to 14. No place in the history of the Word of God will you ever recall anybody got saved and sat down. It literally took lives from those who came to knew to have known Christ. Beheadedness and being crucified upside down and being burned. But nothing matters because these people understood that to die is Christ. Take your time. And so when we look at a scripture such as Hebrews 5, 12 through to 14, it presents the knowledge of who we're supposed to be. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. 13. For everyone that useth milk is what? Unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is yet a babe. 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to what? Discern both good and evil. Discernment is the platform for Christians' growth. Being able to discern leaves you a warrior. If you can't know what to discern, you'll be fighting the hand of God. If you can't know what to discern, you'll be allowing the devil to walk in your house and call him God. Are you still here? And so then discerning becomes very important. It protects your blessing as it revelates you to give you the truth that human feelings doesn't recognize. Do you understand that there are many people in the court awaiting death row who are innocent? Because there's no discerner. Do you understand that nations fall because they cannot discern what God is saying? Discernment then gives you an ear that the natural ear cannot give you. It allows you to hear things that the natural ear doesn't hear. Discernment allows you to see things that the natural eye cannot see. And so this is why it's very important to recognize the dependency of the Holy Spirit and to be very submissive to him as he leads you into discerning. You do not discern on your own. It is called the gift of discerning of spirit. Therefore, it is the Holy Spirit that is going to lead you into the process of discerning. I'm going to take my time so that you understand, because I don't believe that there's any strong church that is not growing. Therefore, you must understand the strongest spirit that rivals discerning is deception. Oh, God. If you're in here tonight and you find yourself warring with the spirit of deception, you should run for a strong coverage of the Holy Ghost. Because not only that you're singled out to be destroyed, but the gifts and callings in you are now at risk of dormancy. They're not going to leave you because they're gone out without repentance. But the effectual, fervent work of that spirit is now being subsided because you allow the spirit of deception to override. A believer must be very careful because he's no longer just a subject of oxygen and carbon dioxide and masses of cell. It's a lie. He becomes the oracle of God on whom the Holy Spirit rests for the completion or the processing of God's business. So don't take it lightly that you're saved. There is a plan, a purpose, and a promise in you. And that can only come alive when you learn to discern the challenges against this. Very important. According to the last two verses in chapter 3 of 1 Kings 13, don't go there, write it down. When you go home, you go there. Jeroboam had failed to turn from his wicked and sinful ways. So much so that the Lord decided to cut off his house from the earth. Now you must understand that Jeroboam had become a king. So cutting off his house doesn't mean just cutting off his house. It means cutting off his entire kingdom from being in the position where it was. Why? Because he simply failed to do what he's supposed to do. Remember now, when 14 began, we observe a man of God coming in from Judah to prophesy against the activities that were taking place. Now, this is the kind of person that you'd want to stay away from. Why? Because an association with such a person is an open door for impending curse. If you were here last night, you would have remembered that we said clearly that you have to be careful with the people with whom you associate, because there are spirits or curses that have taken root in their path that would simply override to your path. And so you find yourself doing things you never thought you would have done simply because of an association. Ah, God Almighty. And then you get to the place where you can no longer understand your gifts, your callings, your ministries, because now you are held captive by a curse that you don't understand how it was born. And so God equips you in unique ways so that you understand that your vulnerable moments can always be protected. God will never leave you alone, giving the enemy a head start. Oh God, I wish you would hear me. God will never leave you alone, giving the enemy a head start. Because his word says that no weapon that forms against you will prosper. And so in the association or the company of God's people, we find strength. For where one or two are gathered touching anything concerning him is in the midst and is there to bless. One shall chase 1,000, but two shall put 10,000 to flight. To the glory of God, I wish you'd clap your hands and give him the praise. It is the desire of God then for us as his handmaid to find a secure place for freedom, prosperity, significance, and assurance. Just to name a few of the benefits that we get or we enjoy that Jesus Christ paid for at Calvary's cross. When he went to the cross, it was just not an act so that his blood would gush out and you would be cleansed and walk away free. No, it is more than that. I wish you would touch somebody beside me and tell them, Jesus paid for my health. Jesus paid for my joy. He paid for my success. He paid for my education. He paid for my righteousness. He paid for my authority. He paid for me to be the head. He paid for me to give. He paid for me to live holy. And he paid for my salvation. Oh, God Almighty, clap your hands and give him glory. And so the power of discerning becomes the most important door for you to walk through in order for you not to be overtaken by generational curses and otherwise. As long as you walk through the door of discernment and become a discerner, the process of discerning will always be challenged, but you will rise above because you have already been equipped to become the head and not the tail. See, this is why the church seems weak, because these things are hidden from the people of God, and pastors thrive on the whole process of having his or her pocket filled. I come to tell you tonight that a real saved person knows where his or her release is. A real saved person knows that every time his or her hand is stretched out towards the authority of the anointing, he opens door to receive. No pastor has to preach that from the pulpit. So the power of discerning becomes very important. There are numerous biblical indications that we are a complex yet simple tricomponent creation. We are complex yet simple, and I know some of the English students are going to begin to ride on these words. Complex yet simple. This is the place where every part of our existence are interrelated for the business of God. I wish you would touch somebody beside you and tell them, I'm a complex tricomponent being. Why? I am spirit, soul, and a body. I'm going to take you into the depth of this tonight, something you will never probably hear again and you will never forget. We are created unique. Not just that we're in the likeness and the image of the Most High God, but that we, in each unit, spirit, soul, and body, works together after salvation for the good of the kingdom of God. The complexity then is in the process before salvation. Because before salvation, you do not understand anything about yourself. You lie to yourself and nothing matters you. I wish I'm not the only one here tonight. Even after salvation, you still lie to yourself and nothing matters you. Until you get to the place where salvation becomes real in your spirit and the door is open that the Holy Spirit can consume you, and then you begin to trim down the spirit of lie, the spirit of deception, spirit of fornication, spirit of wickedness, and you begin to trim them down. If salvation is not real in you, you will never do anything to them. But But the Bible tells me, if you who are called by my name would first humble yourself, meaning you see yourself for who you are, this is where a lot of us have our problems. We see everybody else and we can't see who we are. Tell somebody, humble yourself. And I would say to you, I'm going to shake some people's mind. I wish this was on the internet. Because I've surveyed so many, many pastors, and I've only found three who really have this thing right. Your body is supposed to work for the glory of God when the Holy Spirit consumes you. It will want to work contrary, but there's no contrariness in Christ.
Lord have mercy.
I said there's no contrariness in God. All things work together for the good to them. So according to scripture, every aspect of my existence is independently alive. I'm going to take you to scriptures tonight so you don't think this is pastors doing. I said every aspect of my existence is independently alive. Why? Because Genesis 2 and 7 has made it possible. Put it on the board for me. The Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril, and man became a living soul. So like it or not, your soul is alive. If we would uniquely remove the soul while still have the availing of the Holy Spirit, your soul is independently and able to make its own decision. It is alive. Let me take you further down. The Holy Spirit is still in there. Scripture reveals to us that the body is alive. James 2, 26. For as the body without the spirit is what? So therefore the body with the spirit is what? We all read it before. But until 9:22 this morning, I didn't get it. I was soaping up myself, lifting my hands, and believe me, as God liveth, I was frozen in the air like this, and I began to hear. And I'm taking mental notes as I hear, and I'm just shaking my head, and the tears just running down. I said, God, you're good. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. You will never understand the body being alive until faith shows you that once the Spirit of God is in there, it's alive. So of course it is the Holy Spirit that makes the body and the soul alive. So the Spirit himself must be alive. Romans 6 and verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through whom? Jesus Christ. So therefore, you must understand tonight, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, is what gives life to the soul and the body. Without Christ, you are dead. For I am crucified with him, yet Each therefore work together for the glory of God. Our body makes us conscious of the world we live in. To detect our surroundings and to determine the need for change. Can I say that again for those who are writing? Our body makes us conscious of the world in which we live, to detect our surroundings and to determine the change we need. Our soul makes us richly aware of ourselves, able to reflect and accept the changes that are made. Our soul makes us richly aware of self, able to reflect and accept the changes that are made. In other words, the body can decide to do something, but the soul must be in agreement for that thing to happen. Our spirit, this is where God is able to commune with his people through discernment and to execute revelation. Our spirit is where God communes with us through discernment for revelation. Now, this is the reason the only person we need to fear is God himself. Ah, oh God, I wish you'd put your hands together and give the Lord a mighty hand. Satan will use man and spirit to influence men to threaten you so as to have you walk away from your purpose. If the plan for your life is under the Holy Spirit's leading, then your promise must be in view. If your promise that God gives to you is held up, your purpose cannot be threatened, because you will understand that no man can kill you before God says so. And if God allows it, then it's his will. In the book of Matthew 10 and 28, we read, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are..." Hold on. "Fear not them which kill the body," which means the body is alive again, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, and that is God and God alone. It's very significant then for you to understand you are not a Christian because Jesus Christ died for your sin. No, that's not true. You're a Christian because he died for your sin with an open arm to cleanse you from your sinfulness. Touch somebody and made whole. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. The enemy that seeks to infiltrate you with fear of any kind, just so that the work of the kingdom of God is hindered, you have the power to discern that enemy and to put him to rest. I want you to understand there's no curse, there's no circumstance, there's no situation that can disqualify you from being a discerner if you hold up the expectation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your duty then is to preserve the grounds of discerning. That's your duty. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's something you must understand. No matter what you're going through, you should never exchange that for the glory of God on your life. No matter how ugly your situation is, God is greater than your situation. No matter how dry your circumstances are, it is God who is able to water those circumstances. Can I talk to you for a second? No Christian have the right to carry a sour face. According to our theme scripture, Abijah already prophesied in the life of Jeroboam, telling him you would be king over Israel. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Isn't it interesting how you can turn your back on somebody and then later on God allowed you to be in a situation where you need them? You don't understand that that in itself is a judgment on you. It is. What God is saying, you are so selfish that you did not realize that it was not him, but I. It was not her, but I. So now let me just teach you a little lesson. Without him, you can't do it. That is why the Bible says you should never bite the hand that feeds you. It might just have to feed you again. Abijah had already spoken to Jeroboam. And it is no surprise why Abijah lived in Shiloh. When I read this thing, my heart just gave way to the Holy Ghost. This man is old and blind, but he lived in Shiloh. Shiloh is a Hebrew understanding of a safe resting place, a place that is integral, a peaceful place, a quiet place, a place of security, a place of good health, a place of tranquility, a place of abundance, a place of prosperity. Inadvertently, this place really means Prince of Peace. And the name Abijah means Jehovah, who is my father. So therefore, Abijah did not have to worry about physical blindness. The songwriter said, where he leads me, I will follow. And if you know anything about God, you don't need to have eyes to be led by God. Oh, God Almighty. Where he leads me. Oh, God Almighty. And God would have had it that Abijah is now living in Shiloh, a place where Jeroboam the king was now in need of something more than his wonderful palace and his workmen and workwomen. Sometimes you can be elevated to a place where you forget how you got there. That's one of the reasons that I love one of the qualities that I gained after I got saved. I wasn't like this. But when I got saved, I quickly realized something. God will just move his finger and shake you. And if he shakes you, no man can put you back. And he doesn't mind keeping you down there as long as through the process you recognize that he is Lord. He doesn't care about your house. For all he cares, you could live in a hut. Elijah was fed by a crow. Doesn't care about that. What he cares about is your soul. And so, Abijah, who's Jehovah's son, rested in a place of abundance and prosperity. And we could look at his blindness as personal chaos. But look at this. In his state of blindness, where he might have had to be fed by others, his clothes might have had to be changed by his worst enemy. Somebody might have passed him by and just kicked him around. If he wanted to use the washroom, somebody might have had to lay him there. But a king in all his glory needed him. God will shake you to make you. By reason of strength, Abijah was blind, but it was God's design. What blessing it is to know that when others put you aside, when others turn you down, when others reject you and forget you, when others give you an expiry date, when others cast you out and deem you insignificant, what a thing to realize that when others think it is over, God says, it has just begun. The power to discern makes the difference between what looks right and what is right. So face value is not always a fear value. Oh, God Almighty. And the king would take an unfair face value for fear value. But the blind man knew the difference. Lord have mercy. God Almighty, give me back my sight, Father. Sometimes the world we live in can become the biggest plague to us because we leave the platform of godliness seeking the things of self. And we don't understand that when we get to that river where God says enough is enough, he will cut off your natural supply and leave you to fight with insufficiency, but he must get his glory. It is not a fact that a lot of us know what is fear value. We trade face value for fear value. David, in his prayer, at a very significant point of his life, where he fought battles and war and saw more blood than he could ever handle and led more in more ugly path that he could have known, but his heart could never give him to turn from God. He prayed a very unique prayer and he sat in a very unique chair. And when he got down to probably one of the longest psalms in the whole Bible, 119, verse 65 and 66, he opened himself and he said, "Thou hast dealt with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word." The word of God on your life will never fall short of what it is supposed to be accomplishing. Tell somebody, "I'm blessed and I'm not a curse." So David said, "Teach me good judgment." Teach me good judgment and knowledge. In other words, teach me to discern. I believe your commandments. Sekutaraba nosoto de vikandia. Jeroboam had just come through a major warfare where God had to send man to reveal to him who he is. It is very important that we understand that he had so far gone from God and the ability to execute in the spirit of discerning that when the man of God came and told him what was about to happen, he requested for the man of God to be harmed. And he stretched forth his hand. And his hand was withered. And God miraculously showed up. But that did not hinder him, you see. For when your heart is wicked, your heart is wicked. There's a difference between a wicked sinner and a weak sinner. So it came to the place where God had to show up again, because even in the midst of one of the biggest miracles that he has ever encountered, he decided to deceive. I don't know about you, but I found it very interesting that he did not send his wife to anybody, any ordinary man, but he sent his wife to a man of God, an established prophet, one who held his own. He told his wife, dress up so that nobody know who you are. Now let me hold you for a second. It seemed unlikely that a queen could come down to the place where nobody knows her. Seemed quite unlikely. Royalty don't discover normalcy just easily. You don't just leave up there and fit in down there. It doesn't happen. When Queen Esther had to get into the chair, she had to be prepared. But Jeroboam was so stupid that he thinks he could deceive a man of God. And so the woman dressed up. And she went with all her gifts. But can I tell you, even in your worst state of chaos, God will lead you to a place of revelation that your situation cannot hinder you from becoming spiritually successful. So, the man of God sat Elijah in his chair. And I could imagine, and I wonder why I'm experiencing this, you might have noticed, as he sat and realized that he could not see, he realized that a sight was open on another dimension. See, you don't need to lead a blind, a naturally blind man who has God. The Holy Spirit went to him and told him, there is somebody coming, but they're in disguise. I look at the intensity of discernment. Not only did he discern her coming, but he discerned the reason for her coming. He discerned the conclusion of that reason for her coming. Lord have mercy. And so the Bible says, as she set foot in. What a situation, eh? He greeted her in the spirit. Come in, the wife of Jeroboam. I don't know what that tells you, but let me help you tonight. Let me help you. There are some things you need to know. The purpose and plan that God sets out for your life will always be challenged by strife. The promise of God on your life will always be shaken by pride. Because on a natural platform, the things that God has set out for us is not what we want to do. And so pride will lead you away. Is there anybody here who, when you got saved, you were ashamed to carry the Bible? Come on, if you're not ashamed and you know what you get through, push your hand up. I was ashamed to carry the Bible. I didn't want nobody to see me with Bible. And then I realized over time, not just that I was ashamed of the act at the cross, but I was also ashamed of transformation. Policemen are so prideful in carrying their guns, even though they know at situation it will take a life. Take your time with me. Witches and wizards are so prideful in making themselves known. There must be something extremely significant about the Word of God, why the devil would want you to be ashamed of carrying it. And over time, I realized something. Has nothing to do with whom I would become. It has everything to do with who I have become. So the devil knew what was in me and what I would become, and so he decides to push all sorts of fake news in my place. But realizing that God has brought me so far, it is essential for me to discern his promise, his purpose, his plan for my life. Why is this so? Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, if you do not know the plan, purpose, and promise of God in your life, you will walk outside of them. Let me take my time. And walking outside of the purpose and plan of and promise of God for your life, it doesn't mean that you won't make money. It just means that the money won't last. It doesn't mean that you won't have children. It just means that there'll be a whole lot of problem coming with them. It doesn't mean that you won't have a car. It just means that you'll be more accident prone than anybody else. It doesn't mean that you won't go to university. It just means that your degree will bring you more shame than fame. It doesn't mean that you won't be healthy. It just means that your health will be lasting for a while. It doesn't mean that you won't look good. But it means that you will be looking good as an AIDS victim. Can I tell you? Walking outside of a discerning life brings you no joy, no peace, no hope, no permanent resources, and so in the midst of what's supposed to be good, you reap bad. In the midst of fruitfulness, you experience drought. In the midst of a best of health, you're in the hospital and no doctor knows why. Discerning gives you an escape route. Sometimes discerning closes the doors that the enemy would open to your life so as to protect you. Your calling and health is the most important things that you need. And Satan comes sharply after them, and you must learn to discern when the enemy is at your door. Satan is relentless, and he tries to oppress you as a child of God, especially when your life revolves around the gospel. Don't get me wrong. Not because you're an evangelist, a teacher, a preacher, a deacon, or a deaconess. It does not mean that you do not need the spirit of discernment. Because I do believe one of the most annoyed person in the kingdom of God is one who cannot discern. One of the most angered person naturally is the man or woman who has the best paying job but has to beg for food. A discerner lives above the plans and the plots and the scheme of the enemy. Tell somebody, I am designed to discern. Careful studies would reveal every child of God, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord and come under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you automatically come under discerning. It sharpens as you grow. The more you study the Word, the more you pray, the more you fast. Can I talk to you for a second? The more you give yourself to the business of God, is the sharper you come in discerning. A life that fluctuates too much kills the gift of discerning. Satan doesn't expect you to discern him. Why? Because he floods your life with problems and persecutions. But you can live above those problems and persecutions. Do you hear me? I say you can live above those problems and persecutions. You can live above circumstances and situations. You can live above the words of others. You are not defined by the things you go through. You're defined by how you overcome. Nothing in this life remains stagnant where the Spirit of God is. The Bible says, for where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Not just that you hold your own grounds, but that you walk in a path of success. The devil will cast a shadow of doubt and tells you it's not real. Can I tell you, you will discern what is good from what is evil. It is astonishing to me that some people have a problem to hear God, but when it comes down to hearing what they want, there's no problem. This is how the devil fool you. Can I say that again? You have a problem hearing God. A problem to hear what he says for you to do. A problem in being submissive. A problem in being proud. A problem in being cocky, a backbiter. But when it comes down to hear what you want, You hear God. If I know the devil in any way at all, he will just allow you to walk in. Satan's party begins with you deceiving yourself. You don't need to pay any entrance price. All you have to is deceive yourself while coming to church. That's why every morning I wake up, I tell him, Lord, I need you. My need for you is real. As I held up my hand today, I was frozen in the bathroom and I held the rag and I said, thank you, Jesus. And the tears just run. I said, thank you, Jesus. Because nobody understands what it feels like when you have just a couple hours to plan a teaching, a class like this, and you don't have to bother yourself. You know he's leading you, he's teaching you. You know that you hear him well. Hello, I don't have to ask if I heard him. Why? Because it is the revelation that comes. Satan does not revelate. He allows you to self-communicate. That's why you got to be careful. Anytime you think you see something and you have to add to what you see, you're in a wrong place. You end up telling somebody, I think this is what God is saying. God is complete in his knowledge. It is you and I who knows in part. But the Bible says, when the fullness of time is come, which is when he's ready to revelate you, he opens you to full knowledge. So a true child of God don't need to grovel in the sand to find truth. He simply discerns. Tell somebody beside and tell them, I am equipped to discern. And so now I'm going to open you to three stages of discerning. The first level of discerning is to use the Spirit of God in you. Bible said, try the Spirit. It's first level. So you tell me the mic in my hand is green. I've never seen the mic, I just held it. Right away, in my spirit, it just cannot settle that it is green. And I'll be doing what I'm doing all by myself, no care for nothing, and just hear the mic is not green. And you brush it off, and you're gone again, and you're doing what, and we do that, I do that so many times. I just gone about my business, I heard it, the mic is not green. God will never leave you to be deceived. He will not suffer his only one to see corruption. Not going to leave you to be deceived. So you're teaching, and the mic is not green. Of course, you are not thinking about the mic. As a matter of fact, the thought of the mic being green or black or pink or yellow is so flippant that you just leave it. Has no significance to you. But the Holy Ghost says, I will not allow my servant to be deceived. Second platform of discerning, he will allow an unfamiliar, unused to, if you want that word, scripture to come alive. For example, when they had me down in the police station and they told all the concoction, and the policeman had me for an hour and 20 minutes in there, the day before, I was so messed up in my spirit. Did you hear Pastor say that? Yes. I did not know whether or not I should trust God anymore. How is it that I'm serving you with all of my being? All of my being And you're going to allow somebody. I seen the other day two persons, and they were just talking to me. And I look at them and say, you set of fools. You don't know that every word that you're saying, I hear you. Every word that these two men, and they were men, talk about me, I heard them. And I'm like, if you're not important, I don't waste time with you. Go ahead. I've already proven you a wicked, stupid fool, man. I don't need to look at you. And I just do what I do, like I don't care. But the night before, the policemen called and they told me they want Minister James, they want Rev, the one I think it was Mr. Lindsay, and they want us all down there. And then I was so troubled in my spirit, not because I thought anything wrong, but I asked God, how could you allow this? And God just opened to me Psalm 21, 11, 12. Get up and read. Paraphrasing, they plan an evil and they will not get through. I've never seen the life in that word. And I read the scripture before. I've never seen, that's why I'm afraid of a man who knows the scripture and can shoot it off every finger but can't live it. Not just that you have become an epitome of demon, but you're wicked. Because if the word of God cannot change you, you're in the pit of hell already. It would have been better for you never to have known that word at all. They have orchestrated a plan for your life, but they will never be victorious over you. That's discernment. When I got to the meeting, was the word true? When I got to the meeting, the man was finished with me. He don't want to see them again. They're right here, living testimony. I said, no, you don't tell me to bring them and tell me to go out there and tell them you don't want to see them. That's rude. I remember Paul in the book of Acts did something. I said, you go tell them yourself. He called them, he told them. Not only did he do that, he wrote the letter to get rid of my enemy. Can you imagine? You call the government on me, and the government give me the letter to get rid of you. Third stage of discernment. Do not go fishing for confirmation. The devil will give you one. Did you hear me? Never go fishing for confirmation. Satan is equipped. Satan is equipped. He will give you one. Confirmation finds you as a discerner. So your testimony becomes sure because nothing to do with the case of at hand is on your doing, is on your knowledge, is on your spirit. It's about the Spirit of God.